I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. The second most populous country in the world has announced it will hold a special census next year. We're talking about India, the country of 1.2 billion people, and the answer to our GeoQuiz today. For the first time in 80 years, an Indian census will also ask for details about each person's caste. And in India, that can be an incendiary topic. Suvir Kaul teaches English literature at the University of Pennsylvania. And Professor Kaul, you have done a lot of research on the census. Can you explain why, in India, caste is even a part of the questionnaire?
Caste is a complicated business, but what it does, briefly, is locate a person within a community or a kinship group in a more or less hierarchical order. What this new census focus on caste does is to allow the government, our policymakers, to understand exactly who suffers what forms of oppression or economic inequality, and thus use this data to try and generate a system of policies that will encourage people to work against what has become a historically entrenched system.
Well, if you look at caste as this combined social system of culture and social class, political power, then how likely is it that a census that documents it is going to do anything toward really changing that entrenched system?
You're right. A census itself can't change things. But what it can do is to provide an accurate picture of the way caste relations actually function on the ground. If I can come up with a clarificatory example from the United States context, racism as an endemic problem is not going to disappear if the government simply includes questions about your racial origins in the census. But it does allow policy planners to understand the ways in which racism has functioned to limit not just opportunities for black people or African Americans in this country, but has functioned to stunt social possibility and growth in America per se. In exactly similar ways, what this new census-based understanding of caste and caste relations will do is to allow policymakers to decide how best to intervene to try and work against what is a very difficult system to encourage the loosening of caste divides.
The loosening of caste divides, because you say, and you compare it to questions about race here in the United States, the problem in India isn't castes themselves, it's casteism, similar to racism.
Yes, absolutely.
Casteism itself is the prejudice that comes based on caste.
Absolutely.
So when this census is complete in India, what do you anticipate could happen?
Let me give you a concrete example out of the world of education. In a great many parts of India, historically, the caste groups that are at the bottom rungs of the social ladder have been denied access to school education and certainly to college education. However, in the last several decades, because of government intervention, all kinds of universities, colleges, and indeed schools have opened their doors in a kind of system of reservations for the children of those who have in the past been excluded from education. This has meant an enormous shift in all kinds of economic patterns within the lower rungs of the caste system. All I know is when I think about these kinds of issues, I think about the possibilities of democratic transformation. Yes, I do worry that the census will to some extent ask us to confirm our caste identities. But if it is the basis of egalitarian and democratic governmental intervention, I think this is a good thing in its entirety.
All right. Speaking to us from the University of Pennsylvania, Suvir Kaul, talking to us about how for the first time in 80 years, the national census in India is going to ask about a person's caste. Professor Kaul, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.